This is World Religions Explained. I am your host, Kyle Cottle. Thank you for joining me today.
Today we will be talking about Hinduism. Hinduism will be a bit different from the previous three religions we have talked about. So let's get started. Hinduism is known as the oldest lasting religion. That means that there are older religions, but none that have lasted throughout millennia. So older religions aren't around. Hinduism is the oldest religion that is still around. And unlike the three previous religions I have already talked about, Hinduism is not monotheistic. They are considered pantheistic and polytheistic. Pantheistic means that identifies God with the whole universe. God isn't a being like us, but more of an entity that makes up everything we know. Polytheistic means to believe in and worship multiple gods. These terms seem like they can't coincide, but they do in Hinduism. Hindus believe in Brahman. Brahman is a supreme soul. It is the universe and everything in it. Brahman does not interfere or interact in the lives of humans. It is just there. So unlike other religions we learned about that God does interact, this Brahman does not. Since Brahman is basically everything, it does not have any sort of gender. Brahman just is. Hinduism also has many gods that they worship. We won't get into every single god, since there are way too many to count. And this is just the basics of a religion. What we will do is talk about the three main ones. There are three. These three are called Brahma, which is not to be confused with Brahman, Vishnu, and Shiva. They make up the Hindu Trinity. Brahma is known as the creator god, the one in charge of creation, obviously. Vishnu is the preserver god. He maintains order within the universe between creation and destruction. And Shiva is the destroyer god. Everything that is created must eventually be destroyed and renewed. This is Shiva's job. So as we can see, these gods are very important to the entire universe. It is said that there are 33 million gods, although we don't know them all. We do know a lot of them, though. These gods are in charge of things such as the ocean, the rain, love and passion, war, etc. Basically, if there are 33 million gods, there are a lot of gods that rule over many different things. Many of these gods are worshipped by different people. In fact, all things in Hinduism are seen as sacred. This is why you may hear about them worshipping things like cows, rocks, or fire. They can see God or Brahman in anything, and they generally have a reason to worship them, such as cows are looked as kind of divine because they are seen as mothers that give life. And even back a long time ago, thousands of years ago, cows, through their milk, gave life and helped them survive. Little background on that. Hinduism also has a few sets of sacred texts, which they use. The most prominent and important texts are called the Vedas. It is basically what the Bible is to Christians, or what the Quran is to Muslims. Veda means knowledge in the language of Sanskrit, and the language of Sanskrit is the ancient language of India. Although few people kind of speak it now, still. But these Vedas were originally just spoken truths, but were eventually compiled and written down. Through its compilation, it was separated into four different Vedas. These are the Rig Veda, which is a book of hymns which praise gods. Yajur Veda, a book of hymns which have sacrificial rites and rituals. Samaveda, which are chants with music for worship, and Atharva Veda, spells and charms. These are all thought to originate from the gods and given to the sages ages ago. Because of this, the Vedas are seen as sacred. They give wisdom and knowledge about how to live life, as well as practical advice on how to perform rituals and ceremonies. Next is the Upanishads, and this is another set of Hindu sacred texts. It is focused on self-awareness and how to gain peace in this life. It isn't focused on rituals like Vedas are. It deals with questions about who is God, what is our relationship with him, her, it, what is the goal of life, etc. Hinduism also uses some epics to help them understand other themes of life, which we won't really get into. So the background of Hinduism is kind of blurry, or it's a little foggy. We aren't really sure. Nobody knows exactly when Hinduism started as a religion. There's a lot of debate on that. This because, just like we see in a lot of ancient things, they started out as oral traditions. This means that there's no traceable transcript to tell us when the Hindu idea came about. Many Indian scholars, which is where Hinduism is a predominant religion, believe that it started anywhere from 25,000 BC to 6,000 BC. Western scholars, who aren't Hindus, try to put it the date between 4,500 BC and 1,200 BC. That's a pretty big gap and difference of opinion. But not only are we not sure when it started, but we also aren't sure where or how it started. Again, there are a lot of mysteries on the background. Hinduism's origin isn't so cut and dry like other religions, just like its name isn't named after a founder or a group of chosen people. It was actually named by the Persians. This is also true about the country India. Basically, it had to do with how they changed some Sanskrit words a bit to call them what we know them as today. So they didn't even necessarily give themselves the name. Now, the Vedas were written anciently by people called the Aryans. This happened through centuries. They were written down through centuries, and it was somewhere between 1500 BC and 500 BC. Many scholars believe that the Aryans mixed with the indigenous people of India after some sort of invasion. Many Hindus believe that Hinduism is more of a timeless religion and didn't start through those means. The Aryans just adopted or continued to follow the principles of Hinduism. At least that's what Hindus believe. Again, there are many unknowns about its origins, with many theories surrounding it. Around 1000 BC, though, the idea of Hinduism really started spreading throughout India. With this came a feudal type of political system. There are higher class citizens and lower class citizens. This was a way that the Rig Veda taught to organize themselves. We know it more typically as the caste system, although at this time it wasn't as predominant, as we will talk about later. But the caste system wasn't originally meant to put some people in poverty while others got rich and powerful, although it did turn out that way in many senses. The original intent was to have everyone do their part. Some people were meant to be royalty, some people meant to be warriors, some people meant to work in the fields. This wasn't about who was better than who, but what their roles were in society to create a more well-rounded system where everyone has a role. The caste system may seem like it was intended to oppress others, but that was not the point or the original intent. From the years 500 BC to 100 BC, there started to be some division among many Hindus. This is when the Upanishads were produced. That's the other sacred texts other than the Vedas. Which combated the ritualistic nature of the Vedas. And now branches of Hinduism started forming, which tweaked his philosophy a bit. Also, with many of the New Age philosophers at the time, especially from Greece, the philosophy of Hinduism started to be questioned more and more. Remember, Hinduism wasn't necessarily competing against traditional religions as we think about it now. Hinduism seems to be more of a philosophy with a religious aspect to it. This meant that other philosophies were more its rivals rather than other religious organizations. This is a time when the caste system was codified and really took off, though. India has been conquered multiple times in the centuries to come, but Hinduism always remained. Parts of it change here and there, as well as the culture of it and how it is lived, but that's true of all religions throughout all time. Now, Hinduisms have a wide variety of beliefs. Just remember that is a very old and it's more philosophical. That means that there are many different ways to believe and that most of them aren't wrong. Hindus don't dislike or go against other religions. They believe that everyone is on their own journey in this life. This journey is meant to bring you peace. However you are able to get there is all right. The individuals and societies of Hindus may have their specific way of worship and practicing Hinduism, as well as which gods to worship, exactly how to worship them. But there's no uniform way to practice. It is all up to the individual. This is because finding out truth is a point of life. The truth will bring that peace that you are looking for. There is truth in all religions and beliefs, so people need to figure it out for themselves. Hindus also believe in Dharma. Dharma means to fulfill your duties during your lifetime. This changes throughout stages of your life. For example, when you're a child, your duty may be something as simple as sharing your toys with others. When you're a parent, your duty is to teach your child the correct path. When you're an adult and not a parent, your duty may be to study and perform certain sacred rituals. You need to figure out for yourself what your duties are at any given time. Again, Hinduism doesn't have a core set of standards for everyone. Individuals get to make their own decisions. They also believe that living a fulfilled life is something we should strive for. We should avoid things like lust, anger, greed, too much attachment to things, pride, and jealousy. As we avoid these things, we need to figure out what makes us happy. This means that each person must follow their own conscience. Find out what you think is right and do that. Fortunately, there's an infinite amount of time for trial and error. This is because there's a cycle of life and death. Each person has an eternal soul, and the body is just a medium for it. Once that medium dies, the soul goes elsewhere. This is called transmigration, or as some people like to think is reincarnation, right? Where the soul goes and what it does in the next life depends on karma. Now, we all think we know exactly what karma is, but karma more means that good and bad actions affect your state in the next life. Many times we think more of karma as I do something bad to you and the next day something bad happens to me. But karma more thinks about the life previous to this one and how it influences our life now. Now, this is a way to make things look fair because as we see in this world, millions of people and even some billions of people are born in bad circumstances. Well, with this, it shows that we get an infinite amount of chances, and maybe we did something not so good in the previous life, and we'll keep on going until we live in a better situation. Many people wonder why some are born in advantageous circumstances than others, and this is exactly why. Now, once someone has reached the pinnacle of life and figured out its truth, then they become one with Brahman. Remember, Brahman is the supreme soul. It's everything. It's the universe. It's like God, but God is everything. This means that they essentially merge into the universe and become pure. This is what Hindus consider salvation. At the moment, we view ourselves as distinct and separate entities from others. Merging with Brahman is a realization that we are one in the same. With all of this said, Hindus believe in understanding reality. There are many different ways to view reality. This isn't a religion based on faith, but more about logically figuring out the truth. The leaders don't hold any special power from God, so much as they have figured out more truth than we should, and we should listen to them. We should be lifelong learners and continue to dig deeper into what we don't know. The reality we see isn't necessarily real. That is something that needs to be figured out. As we start to understand the reality of things, we know that we are getting closer to the salvation that we are seeking. And this is the important thing of Hinduism, I have found, is it isn't just a commandment-based system or a commandment-based religion. It is a religion and philosophy to find out what makes you happy. And as we do that, we get time after time to try to become better and become one with the universe, which will bring us peace. And I want to thank everyone for listening to my podcast. And I hope you learned something new that you didn't know before about Hinduism. And as I always say, remember, if you have any questions, I'll leave my email in the comments or in the section down below, which will describe what the podcast is. And you can ask me, and I will try my best to answer it in another podcast. Thank you, and have a nice day.